In an old Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demands that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he doesn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Unity is certainly a sight to behold. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Frequently, as part of the liturgy of a wedding service, a unity candle is lit by the bride and the groom. The couple each takes a small burning candle, usually lit by their mothers at the beginning of the service, representing their solitary life thus far, and together they light the large center candle, signifying the biblical claim that in marriage the two lives become one. When they put the small candles back into their holders, they are to extinguish them. At a recent wedding, not here but somewhere else, the bride and groom put the individual candles back into their holders while the flames were still burning. And then the bride, with an impish gleam in her eye, bent over and blew out the groom's candle. The congregation burst into laughter. Following the service, one fellow quipped, "During the marriage ceremony, two become one. On the honeymoon, they discover which one." How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Charles Grant writes, "A few years ago, my mom began feeding the birds on a regular basis in our backyard. At first, some of the birds were greedy. They weren't sure if there would be enough food to go around. The starlings were especially mean, which doesn't surprise anyone familiar with birds. They would attack the robins, cardinals, and sparrows that came to get a taste. The situation continued for several months, until one day there was a noticeable change in the birds' behavior. After some time of regular feeding from the unlimited supply, the birds appeared to be less greedy with the food. Now they were feeding at their leisure, realizing there would be more food when their current supply was finished. And then something even more remarkable happened. After many months of hoarding and greed, and then cautiously enjoying, the birds began to demonstrate an even nobler characteristic. They began calling for one another at mealtime. Today, when the seed is spread for the birds, one will call for the others to share what they've discovered. The greed is less frequent. The jealous pecking is rare. The trees seem fuller these days with the joy of satisfaction from birds that have learned to share. The music of multiple species fills the air. Now they know the supply is unlimited, and as far as their appetite is concerned, it's inexhaustible. One morning, I even noticed a sparrow feeding right next to a starling. Miracles never cease. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Jesus was nearing the end of his life. The cross loomed in the distance and was getting closer by the day. In the 17th chapter of John, we find his last prayer before his trial and crucifixion. Immediately after he prayed the words we heard read this morning, he was arrested. It is striking that of all the things for which Jesus could have prayed in this moment, his attention was turned squarely on his disciples, the 12 who had followed him these 3 years, and all who would follow after. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. And in that moment, it is also striking to discover what it is that Jesus wanted most for his disciples, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Unity amongst the believers is what Jesus desired, that through that unity, the world may come to believe in Christ. What Jesus wants for us is that we may be one. Friends, I have been so very encouraged as we have walked together thus far through our Grounded in Faith Growing to Serve capital campaign. I have been encouraged by the excitement surrounding the plan for our future. I have been encouraged by the generosity of a few. $1.6 million from just 16% of households is astounding and inspirational. Our children and our youth continue to be inspiring to the rest of us. And I have been encouraged by the words of support and appreciation that I have received for my ministry here among you. But most of all, I have been encouraged by the unity. Because it seems to me that we are all in this together. That each one recognizes that this is the right vision for our church and that this is the time to make it happen. I have loved having conversations with you during which you have shared your excitement about this plan and about our future. And I love seeing you engaged with one another in conversation about it as well. I know from having conversations with many of you about some of the recent history at CMPC that this is a significant shift. In the not-so-distant past, we have not had such unity here. We have not had such a shared vision. To be sure, there are still plenty of things over which we may disagree, and some of those matters are important. But one of the great gifts of this plan and this capital campaign so far has been the gift of unity. That it has drawn us closer together as a community and united us in our pursuit of this incredible and audacious goal. As your pastor, as a fellow disciple of Jesus Christ, I find great joy in that unity because I believe in the depths of my soul that our Lord finds great joy in it too. That they may all be one, he prayed. And as we journey toward the conclusion of our capital campaign, as we discern what commitment we will make next Sunday in worship, that is what I pray for the most. Not the total, not the plan. Those are means to an end, ultimately, with that end being that they may all be one. That unity is what I am most eager for our congregation. And so as you continue to pray and discern what is that meaningful and joyful and sacrificial gift to the campaign for you and your household, take courage. Take courage in knowing that the amount is not what is most important. Give and give generously, I urge each of you. Do not do it because the church needs it, but because you need it. To take that bold step of faith to that place that your Lord is calling you. But in the end, do it, because in doing so, we will all be united that much more as a church, as a family, and as the body of Christ. Some of you have shared with me your concern that your gift cannot be a large one. That's okay. Remember that one of the principles of this campaign is equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. Some can give a lot, some can give a little, but all can give some. Remember the widow and her two coins. No matter the size of the gift, we need all to commit to this work, to join in this bold step into the bright future of Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church. So that we can truly claim that we are one. I say to all of you today what I have said to a few of you thus far. That is my great hope and prayer for each member of this family, that when the time comes for us to break ground, and when we stand together in a service of dedication of our new space, that each and every one of us and those not with us today can stand in that moment and say to ourselves, I was a part of making this happen. That is what I think will bring a smile to the face of God. That they may all be one. That was our Lord's prayer. That in and through that unity, the world may come to know Jesus Christ. These are special days here at Christ Memorial, when we can sense that unity more than we have in quite a long time. And that is far greater and more meaningful than any campaign total or any new building. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Good and pleasant indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.